someone has already done and is already doing what you want to do. And no, they didn't fall into a rich family to do so. They were not born lucky. You know you can be more. You can have more, do more, and be more. You know this. You wouldn't be listening otherwise.
Hey, you guys. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Millennial Market Talk, where we aim to inspire and empower, not entitle. And today we have a special guest, Crystal Del Bosque Gomez. She joins us from SBS Construction, and she is the business development. Is that correct?
Yes.
Director of business development. Mm-hmm. Very good. So Crystal, how are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm. So as you know, our audience is the millennial demographic, and we're hoping that most of them are looking for that motivation. They're looking for, the path. They're looking to see how we got to where we are. How, what you do, and where it all came from. And then in the end, maybe where you're going.
Right.
So starting at the top, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I am a San Antonio native.
Okay.
Born and raised. I came to school here in the north side, Sandra Day O'Connor. That's right.
Go if you guys don't know, that is my alma mater.
I went to college here. I was afforded multiple opportunities to be on the East Coast, but I chose to stay because of family. I had an ill father in college and got my undergrad at UTSA.
Okay.
Did the whole marriage, kid. Got my my graduate degree at UTSA also. So go Roadrunners. Birds up.
Mimi.
Yeah, they've got some of my money. I can say not all of it.
Very
so
good.
I was pretty smart about that. And I dived into my community the first thing I did when I graduated college.
Okay.
And got really involved in local politics.
Okay.
And worked in the public sector for 12 years.
Wow.
And then I pivoted out about 4 years ago.
Okay.
Into the private sector, into the construction industry.
Very good.
So I've been in the construction industry now for about 4 years. And loving it.
Good.
Doing a business development role.
Plenty of growth in the construction industry. If you guys are not aware, there is plenty of growth, especially in areas, as one of our podcast guests had mentioned before, the south side of San Antonio, the east side of San Antonio. It's really booming, but sorry.
Go ahead. San Antonio, for a lot of investors, is a blank slate.
It's very true.
And I think in our market, we have a lot of areas where investors can be creative. Mm-hmm. And so for a general contractor like SBS, where I am, we do a lot of site development as well. So we can work on negotiated projects, which is great.
Okay.
Because it allows me to get into the project ahead of time.
Sure.
I get to use a lot of my past relationships when I was working.
Okay.
On the public sector side. So we'll get into that, how that all carries over.
Sure.
Into where you are and how just beneficial it is no matter where you go.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, and without going too far forward, did you mention that one of your companies that you work for is nonprofit?
Yes. So I had opened 6 years, well, now it'll be 6 years ago,
okay,
a consultancy firm called Crystal Clear Community Consulting.
Very good.
And I had a few different clients, including one that did work on the South Side. I helped found Southside First Economic Development Corporation.
Wow.
That was probably my most prized and coveted projects I've ever worked on.
Okay.
Because what we did, myself and a few others with the South Chamber of Commerce, we banded a group of leaders together to create an economic development strategy for the South Side of San Antonio.
Wow.
Because there was not one.
I believe that.
And in really working in that community development corporation type of regard, it was an opportunity just to bring all the leaders together and say, okay, how do we envision the South Side of San Antonio growing?
Because sure,
the growth's coming. And so how do we envision guiding it?
Sure.
Because it's going to come.
Absolutely.
And if we allow it to come organically, it's going to grow organically, and we don't know if we're going to be happy with the results.
Well, very true. It can right? kind of take its own shape, and it essentially could go one way or another.
Right.
Never really goes down the middle.
Right. And so you have to really take hold of that. And we saw the opportunity that nobody was.
Very good.
And it was actually to our surprise.
Okay.
It was to our surprise. So that was one of my most fun projects that I've ever worked on in my life. I've worked with other organizations from the healthcare industry to animals, animal groups, wow. to addiction recovery.
So we're basically housing. Talking to the biggest heart in San Antonio right now.
Affordable housing.
That's awesome. Very good. So I guess what I want to do is kind of go back. What led you to the career path that you've taken? Obviously, you went to, we'll start in the beginning. You grew up in San Antonio and you grew up in a household of how many?
Gosh, so my household is very interesting. I will say I grew up around nothing but salespeople.
Okay.
All salespeople, all entrepreneurs.
Sure.
Everybody who is of the mentality that you ask them if they can do something, they say, sure. And then just figure out how to
do it. Figure out how to get it done. Sure.
Right. Anything to get the job. Right.
I like it.
It's like you say yes and you figure it out later.
Absolutely.
Right? Ask for forgiveness, not permission.
That's right.
So I grew up here in a blended family. There are three of us, myself and my two brothers, and then I have five step-siblings.
Okay.
Who are older than me.
Gotcha.
And so I got to experience a little bit of their growth as well. My dad, who lived in Oklahoma City, was one of the first luxury home builders.
Wow.
Out in Oklahoma City. He passed away in 2009.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah. So it was tough. That was when I was in undergrad. So he was not able to see me walk the stage because of cancer of the throat.
Yeah.
Smoking cigarettes. So that happened. But I will say that his passing launched me into a growth in my faith, a growth in my mindset.
Sure.
You know, it really launched how fast I wanted to grow, honestly.
Absolutely.
Because it really gave me perspective. You know, he passed away at age 54.
Wow.
From cancer that took him in 8 months, right? And started with a sore throat. So with that perspective in mind, you realize life is super short.
Mm-hmm.
And there was also some financial things that he probably could have taken up on, didn't have the time to.
Sure.
You know, being 54, he didn't really have, he threw everything into his business, mm-hmm. all his money. So there really wasn't much left after that. And so, which is great. He did what he
intended to do, sure.
At the time. But I learned a lot of financial and business lessons from him because of that. My real father, you know, he was born of two immigrants from Liverpool, England. His mother was from Liverpool and his father was from Mexico.
Okay.
Mexico City, Mexico.
Very good.
And they both got their citizenship here in the States and he was first born British Mexican.
Very cool.
So yeah, I know that's really bizarre.
Well, I've got oh my goodness, I've got so many different things in me. One of which is Sweden, like the straight Swede.
Oh.
So people say, "Well, you're not white," and I'm like, "I'm actually like really, really white on the white side."
A lot of things. Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's what America's about.
Absolutely.
But that man, I tell you what, he was orphaned by the time he was 16, but his parents passed away very young. Went into the military. And, you know, growing up, he always said, you know, I did not have the opportunity to go to college. He barely finished high school and he went straight into the military. Mm-hmm. You know, at the time, it was a different time. And so he went into the military at age 17 and he learned a lot of lessons. When he retired from military, he did not have a degree.
See?
He didn't have any formal training. He worked in recruiting for the Air Force for 25 years. And he always told me, you know, he was one of those people that had cassette tapes of Tony Robbins. My mom, too. She's another person.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, he had informal training. He's like, every day in the morning, I make sure I wake up and read the paper because I don't ever want someone to look at me as the kid who didn't graduate high school.
Love it.
As the kid who didn't have a college degree.
Sure.
As the kid who didn't have parents. You know, he was one of those people who sat a glass in front of us at like age 7 and said, "What do you see? Is it half empty or half full?"
Right? It's refillable.
Yeah. Well, depends where we are.
That's right. I love it. And I actually can relate to some of that. Not having a degree myself, mm-hmm. In my opinion, it was something that kind of was over my shoulder going, "Hey, you don't have a degree." But at the same time, once I got to a certain point in my life, it really didn't matter.
It didn't matter.
Right. I had the confidence, the knowledge, and the, I guess, the tenacity to say, you know what, it does not matter. And I'm proud of the fact that I can still do what I'm doing here and not have that. Now, I don't knock having a degree or anything like that, so don't get me wrong. But the second thing I can relate to is my father actually went straight into the military as well because, I can't say because of me, because that sounds like a negative connotation, but they didn't have anything else to do. I mean, it was go into the military or go find a job, but at the same time, there's no healthcare. All of the different things that come about at having a child, the military was the answer. So
Now my mom on her side, I say we come from a family of salespeople, and that's absolute truth. My mother's dad, my grandfather was one of the top life insurance salespeople in San Antonio. And being a Mexican man, not Hispanic,
sure.
But American, he was Mexican from Mexico, and making that was a big deal, mm-hmm. especially, you know, in his time. And was also a mariachi singer.
Hi.
He was a mariachi singer, had an album.
Very cool.
Proud of that.
Okay.
Yes. My mother, she's also a singer.
Okay.
She's the singing realtor. She herself, Rosie Kelch, the singing realtor.
She should probably hook up with my mom. My mom is like karaoke diva.
Oh. I mean, my mom, okay, so get this. She has taught me everything that I know in sales without teaching me. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. The best way is to show.
You just see it.
That's
and it
exactly
wasn't
right.
anything that she was intentionally showing me.
No.
And my dad, for example, specifically wanted to teach us these lessons and make sure that they were structured lessons and we learned.
Sure.
Right? He would always make sure, okay, honey, when you reach the first bar, you need to reach higher. What's the next bar? Right? And he would always say these euphemisms.
Sure,
right?
Metaphors and always have something to relate it to. That makes sense.
And I could tell he was always repeating what Tony Robbins was saying on volume 3 or something, right? And so, which is great. He wanted to make sure he was teaching. My mom, on the other hand, no, she was just living life. She was just trying to get by. She was a single mom, 3 kids. One, my oldest brother had some special needs growing up. He has Asperger's. But as a child, you know, in adulthood, Asperger's is very manageable when he's totally normal. But as a child, there was a lot of things that at the time people didn't know about. And so, or were just perceptive about.
Makes sense.
Like they are now.
Absolutely.
And so we had some of those things. My mom was a real estate agent and what single mom, 3 kids, and she hustled.
Yeah. I mean, you have to.
She hustled.
That's awesome.
I remember sitting in the passenger seat of her car at age 9, at age 10, and opening those books that now real estate agents have. You know, they can call CSS or whatever.
Sure, sure.
They can look at GPS. No, my mom had her 9-year-old opening up this book. It was a map of San Antonio, and we had to figure out where we were going. And I remember one time we were trying to look for this property, and it was in the crease of the book.
Wow.
And so we couldn't find the street. We couldn't find the street because it was in this crease, and she's doing UEs and all this. And I just remember seeing that hustle, and it – she just did it.
Sure,
know?
Sure.
And we would do it after school until it was time for dinner. And usually dinner ran late because everybody wants to do showings after their work
schedule. That makes sense.
Schedule. And so there were times where it's like CPS would not allow these things now. But, you know, 3 kids in the hot car outside with the windows down. My mom would find the biggest tree on the street. Say, okay, y'all stay here. I'm going to show this house. Don't move.
Don't move. Yep.
Don't start the car. Don't move. And so she would go in, show the house, and then because, you know, God forbid she'd bring us in. And
yeah.
We're touching everything that we're not supposed
makes
to touch.
Makes perfect sense.
Yeah. And so I saw that hustle. She definitely was a hustler. I would help her every year send out she would send out these little Christmas cards to all of her clients and potential clients. And I would put on stickers that said, I love referrals. And you know, she would mail these out.
Yeah.
And she would pay me for it. And I remember seeing that hustle too, just like constantly keeping up and keeping the rapport. And
so it sounds like you grew up in a household that showed the way, preached the way, and they were a do what it takes to get it done.
Do what it takes.
Family.
How to stand out.
Sure.
You know.
Okay. How to separate yourself from everybody else.
I remember seeing you on the side of a truck. Your face on the side of a truck on 1604, and you're doing this. And I said, that is Mark Jones. He and I share a birthday. You know we share a birthday.
Absolutely.
He and I share a birthday. Well, damn.
Same age.
Hot damn. Yes. He's on a billboard. What the hell am I doing, right? No, but she had those same type of marketing techniques.
Sure.
And wasn't afraid of it, right? And so she was like, how can I stand out?
Absolutely.
And I just kind of took that with me too. And there were two totally different ways of thinking when it came to school. My dad said, my real dad said, you want to go to school? You pay for it.
Same here.
And so I was in college and I worked three jobs.
Sure.
All the time. I was constantly
Now, I
tired.
Will say, just for the record, I did go to college. I went to college for about 4.5 years.
Okay.
I do not have any student loans. Paid for school while in school. Worked the entire time. Just kind of decided that it wasn't the path for me once I got to the end. And this is a small, short story, but true story. I was in business law. My professor at the time was preaching about how much you're going to make in addition to not or by having the degree versus not having the degree.
Gotcha.
I was working the entire time. I was doing sales. Mm-hmm. I was working at a bank. I was opening a credit repair company, doing club promoting, all kinds of things. Honestly, I was playing cards at poker houses, yes, things of that nature. And I raised my hand and said, I don't believe that that's true. And we got into a kind of an argument and I said, this isn't for me. Yeah. This isn't for me if that's what you're preaching to folks.
Yeah.
And I don't feel like I'm right, but that's just my opinion of it.
Yeah. So. And in hindsight, I mean, he's not right. The reality is there's so many students that have graduated and did not make the money that they thought they were going to make and now are in a substantial amount of debt.
Sure. Sure.
I carried over some debt and I did so willfully.
Sure.
It was mostly for my graduate degree. But it was a conscious decision. I knew what I was getting into. I knew what I was bringing my family into. And I knew it was a commitment.
Absolutely.
And, but I knew that it was an investment that I needed to make in order to be in the positions that I wanted to be in.
Gotcha. Okay.
Right? So I knew that I needed to have a graduate degree.
To get to where you wanted to be.
To do what I wanted to do.
Makes perfect sense.
So, and at the time, and a little bit of that has changed, but I'm glad I did get my degree.
Absolutely.
I got my master's in urban planning. And so that's really hard to do. You can't really do a lot of that without some background in formal education because they want to see that.
They want to
see the certifications.
Absolutely. So you mentioned investing, investing. And I want to kind of segment that here shortly, but before that, I want to ask you something.
Sure.
You growing up in the situation that you were in, wasn't a bad upbringing at all. Mm-hmm. And from what you've told me, I that's a pretty awesome upbringing.
Mm-hmm.
Very blessed to have that path. Question is, do you believe that you got more of your drive? Or, well, no, that's not even the great question to ask. Do you believe that the family life and how you grew up gave you more of the fuel and street smarts and education as opposed to your actual formal education?
Yes.
Okay, very good.
Absolutely. It gave you grit because I think I saw grit all the time. I saw the, you just do what you got to do.
That
attitude.
Is one of my favorite words, by the way. Grit.
Grit, because that's
explain
what it
grit.
Is.
Explain grit real quick to our listeners.
Grit is something where you can just bite your teeth into. And you just take it.
That's right. You get it done.
When you see someone, speaking of vaccines, when you're going to get your booster shot and they say, okay, bite down. I mean, that's what you're doing in life.
That's right.
Just bite down and you do it.
I love that explanation of it. That's exactly right.
It takes grit to go to school and finish.
That's right.
You know, it takes grit to go to open up a business and keep it open for at least 5 years.
That's right.
It takes grit to make a phone call, a cold call.
Absolutely.
To somebody who you know 95% of chance they're going to say no, but there's a 5% chance they might say yes.
That's right.
And you're just that takes grit to go for that other percentage.
Absolutely.
God, I mean,
and I will say, I mean, all of the motivational words, including the word motivation, hustle, grind, all of these things. Mm-hmm. If you don't have that grit factor,
mm-mm,
you can only get so far, in my opinion.
Grit is like when you're running a marathon and you have blisters all on your feet and you finish.
That's right.
Right.
That's right.
You're not there. Like, you see those folks who finish like a day later.
Yeah.
That's grit.
That's grit. That's exactly what that is.
That is grit.
The natural talent, starving. Ability has already left their body. They are done, they're going to finish.
Yes. It's like just that. Full willpower from now, like thereafter.
I really like that.
Yeah. I mean, those people are very motivational.
So moving forward, I want to get into what you're doing these days. What are you up to, Crystal?
These days, I am trying to get into all the markets.
Okay.
I'm trying to take
over the world.
I'm trying to build America, Mark.
I love it.
I am. I really am. What I'm trying to do these days is get a lot of buildings built.
Okay.
For folks who want to make profitable money.
Very good. Well, I guess let's start with your role as the director. Mm-hmm. What is it that you do on your day to day? And then we'll go into what you do in your free time, which folks like us, we really don't have free time. Everything is pretty much earmarked for something. And if it's not, then our goal is to create more time so that we can create more time for that.
Yeah, I know. It seems like people who do business development are constantly lunching, you know? Mm-hmm. But in between all of that is constantly lead generating and, you know, figuring out what your pipeline looks like mm-hmm. 6 to 12 to 18 months from now, constantly being an investigator.
Sure.
Like you're part PI, private investigator. You're part, Sherlock Holmes. You're part sales. You're part the face of the company.
Yeah.
Public relations, marketing, communications, making sure messaging all across the brand is succinct. You're kind of a chess player too.
Sure.
So whenever I'm shopping out a project, for example, that I'm interested in getting into or involved in, I'm looking at all the players.
Yeah.
Everybody from your site developers, the guys who check the dirt.
Yeah.
Right. Your real estate brokers, your civil engineers, everybody.
And I think that we were talking earlier and you had mentioned that your folks had asked you or were instilling in you what separates you from everybody else. Mm-hmm. And you just mentioned something that I want to kind of showcase is going that extra mile. And essentially it's most would not do the investigative work, would not double check and triple check and make sure that this lines up accordingly because mm-hmm. it's based on the bigger project. I guess, can you tell me why that's important to you and your role and what you do?
It's important because you want to be authentic.
Okay.
And you want to be genuine. You don't just want to appear that way.
Sure.
Because anybody can come in and put on that face
mm-hmm.
and literally look at a piece of paper and pull off a few names and kind of name drop.
Sure.
But if you're uncovered as not being authentic in that, not being authentic in the relationships that you say you have, you will be uncovered as an imposter.
Absolutely.
And nobody's going to want to work with you.
Absolutely.
You know,
and you know why? Because people like you and I can sniff an imposter
absolutely.
Out like that.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely. Okay.
And, you know, so you can really figure out who knows who. Who's somebody good to work with?
Mm-hmm.
And in this industry, that makes a big deal. I think that's a big deal. That can cost millions on a project.
Absolutely.
If you're doing work partnering with a firm that has some internal issues, and then they cost you money,
yeah,
because they're not doing their site and surveys well, or their civils all messed up, or the financing went wrong in the deal. I mean, you spend a lot of time of your staff.
That's
your money,
very true. And what I tell anybody that I coach is you really don't learn something until it costs you money. Mm-hmm. And I would imagine that things have happened that you go, okay, I'm not going to do that again, or I'm going to do a little bit more so that doesn't happen again,
right.
Whatever the case. And I'm sure that's super important to you. But I want to give the folks, a perspective of what you're dealing with. When you say that you are the director of this company, I don't know if they understand the magnitude of what you're dealing with. So how big are the projects that you guys are doing?
Right. So with this company, the projects range from about $5 million to $50 million. So they're not small. Yeah. We're a multi-story office building, mm-hmm. medical building, maybe even a 4-story airport building.
Sure.
A lot of self-storage.
Okay.
And self-storage right now.
Telling you. It's true.
If you guys want to invest in money and see, you know, we're talking about like 7% cap rates right now. You can get a really good ROI. can't get these ROIs on any retail.
No.
I just say, I mean, the market's not super saturated yet. There'll be critics that say that there it is, but it's not. I'm thinking, how can I invest in a self-storage?
Leverage.
So we do a lot of self-storage. Okay. It is something that a lot of development firms put into their portfolio.
Sure.
As like a diversity, you know, they make a diverse portfolio of what kind of products they
have. So I guess to better understand, are you guys the investors or you are the seekers, put it together, you put the prospectus together, the whole nine yards, and then you sell it to an investor?
Now we've done both.
Okay, very good.
So we mostly operate as a general contractor.
Okay.
But since our firm is small and everybody in our firm is pretty much hands on deck.
Sure.
And our owners have been in the business for a long time, they have the opportunity to just to negotiate with other developers. I can go to a developer and say, hey, I know that you got 1,000 acres you bought out there and you're going to put some homes up there. Mm-hmm. Did you know for every 1,000 homes, you need some self-storage? Mm-hmm. You know, what about some office? What about some office on the frontage? Mm-hmm. You know, we can go ahead and just, instead of waiting for the bait to be out there, we can go ahead and hook and lure and send some bait out.
Absolutely.
Right. Because there's a lot of folks out there who might be thinking these have investments to add to their pad site already. Mm-hmm. I just want to go out. I want to be the first one to say, hey, to bring it to you.
Absolutely. Because, proactive versus reactive.
Right. Just be a little bit more proactive. You know, especially right now, the industry is a little tight. Mm-hmm. God, labor's really tight. The trade services are really tight. And you would think in a city like San Antonio that we would have a lot of access to trade services, which is actually, when you look at economic development, which is like my passion, I love talking about economic development. San Antonio is a huge service industry. And so there's a lot of folks out there right now who are trying to retool and reskill some of those folks who worked in service their whole life to do other type of jobs that they would be capable of doing. They just need maybe a little bit of training.
Yeah.
And so in being able to expand some of those industries.
Makes perfect sense. Yeah.
I mean, we got a shortage of electricians. Things that are very trainable jobs.
Absolutely.
And that pay very well.
Well, same thing in the mortgage industry. We have a shortage of appraisers. So if there's anybody out there that is looking or seeking a longevity position, look into becoming an appraiser for mortgage, commercial, or residential. That's your two cents.
But all that takes grit. You got to bite down. Sometimes people do not have, like in this point in time, I don't have money to invest in the appraisal, you know, classes, but you just have to do it.
It's very true.
You need to carve out 2 hours out of your day somehow to study.
And just need to figure it out. leads me to investment and investing in yourself.
You have to invest in yourself.
Right.
It's going to take money.
Absolutely.
Sometimes you might have to borrow it.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You know, you might have to borrow, you might have to come to somebody and say, hey, I need this money because I'm pursuing this for me with the hopes that I'm going to make exponential money.
Absolutely.
Will you invest in me?
I agree. Now, I guess an investor tip would be always use someone else's money first, even if you have the ability to use your own money. That is another little... Would you agree with that?
I agree.
Very good.
I 100% agree.
Okay.
Because guess what? There are folks out there who will invest in you.
Absolutely.
And it also is a big affirmation that people do trust in you than you think. It's actually something that I learned in college.
Okay.
So in college, I wanted to be like this nonprofit rock star. I mean, my dad thought I was crazy. He's like, you might as well get a degree in basket weaving.
You saying that, I'm thinking you're crazy right now.
What is wrong with you, child, right? I said, don't worry, Dad. One day it's going to pay off. It's going to pay off. All this free work I'm doing is going to pay off. But, you know, I would that taught me. I would go to businesses. We had a board of directors that oversaw our nonprofit certificate at UTSA. And these are people who own businesses and everything. And so our job was to go to them and ask them for money to go to this conference. We were fundraising and do a whole fundraising proposal pitch to them.
Wow.
And that's where I learned it, you know, at age 19.
Absolutely.
Sitting in the offices of, you know, USAA, Valero, and saying, hey, you know, can you donate $500?
Yeah.
You know, and they're like, well, tell me why. Why should
Because the best nation is a donation.
Why? Yeah. Why should I invest in you?
It's a good question.
And you ask yourself, well, that's a good question.
Right. If you're not prepared and if you don't believe in yourself, you don't believe in your value, and knowing, I guess, at 19, that you are already aware of your value. You well, already
are you though? I know. I know for me, I was not.
I will tell you the same thing. I was right there with you.
I was 19, very uncomfortable asking for money.
I'll agree 100%.
Even to my own parents.
Matter of fact, I didn't get a penny from my parents after 18. That was it. Mm-hmm. Sorry. College, everything else is on your own.
That's
so
right.
Yeah, you have to learn how to ask, why you're asking, prepare your value speech.
Right.
And then as you move further in life and you get into what you really want to do and your passion and all that good stuff, I think it becomes you.
Right. But, you know, I want to let your viewers know, too, my approach to asking for anything is never straight asking for money. Because what I learned in fundraising is when you ask for advice, you get money.
Mm-hmm.
When you ask for money, you get advice.
Let's say that one more time.
When you ask for advice, you get money. Mm-hmm. When you ask for money, you get advice. And I always saw that time and time again. And it was at the time, it was the CEO of the Red Cross San Antonio who taught me that.
Okay.
And he also taught me, if you have no message, if you have no money, you have no message. If you have no message, you have no mission. So
that's a new one for me.
That's another one
I like
too.
That.
And so what where that comes from is that you have to really come into with purpose.
Sure.
Because if not, people, like we said, people sniff out an imposter.
Absolutely.
So if you don't come in with authenticity and being genuine and say, hey, this is what I'm really looking for. I'm really looking to do X, Y, Z. I really believe that we can achieve X, Y, Z. If I get into this company or if I invest into this type of education, you know, people want to see what you're looking for, where you're going.
Agree.
And if you can't offer that, if you have no message, you have no mission, and then you got no money.
That's very true. So,
I
mean,
no
you mentioned purpose, and I wanted to find out if that is what you believed at the time going through the nonprofit sector is, did you find your purpose? And if so, what did you believe it was at that time?
My purpose was to help these organizations help whatever they were helping.
Very good.
Right. So I found out really young
that
I did not want to be a frontline worker.
Very good.
I knew that in my heart and my soul, I did not have that kind of grit.
Gotcha.
I didn't. That takes a special person.
Sure.
And I didn't have that. I just did not have that.
And that makes sense. Now, purpose, in my opinion, is the most important thing that will fuel everything else.
Yeah.
It will develop the grit that comes about to get the job done. It will develop the tenacity. It will give you that extra bit of fuel in the tank that when you're just completely done, you've got some reserves because of the purpose that you're doing. Now, I will say that purposes do change throughout our course of our life. But with yours, that's awesome.
It
makes perfect sense.
And it stayed. And that's always been the core for me, too, is how can I help this organization be effective, be impactful, help more lives change, like in their version of the mission, change the world.
Sure.
In their version, right? So whether it was helping organizations that were trying to save animals or helping organizations that were trying to help people who were addicted to drugs.
Sure.
Or helping families with autism, or helping transplants for children.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all these different organizations had their own mission of how to change the world.
Sure.
And which is great. But how do you show that impact? How can you actually make that impact? You know, and that was my role. I said, you know, I'm going to help these people. I'm going to help these people help those people.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
Because I knew I could not be front lines. I didn't know how to I didn't have the skills to compartmentalize.
Okay.
I didn't have the skills to...
Well, I think it's more heart. And I'm not knocking the folks that can, but you had a little bit more heart and that took you a little different direction.
Skills. Absolutely. It takes a lot of skills for folks to redirect their empathy.
Okay.
Right. Okay. So like people who work in front lines, they know how to redirect their empathy.
Mm-hmm.
They do. They know how to compartmentalize. I just didn't have that very young. And so I built different skills. I built skills for fundraising, growing my network.
Sure.
And just really building my book. So my book, meaning my little black book. Okay.
Makes sense.
I
yes, ma'am.
I was really focused on building, that was investing in myself. In my 20s, I was just hyper-focused on building my black book.
Makes perfect sense. Now, for those watching, the black book If you are not entrepreneurial mindset, if you are not driven by your passions, if you don't have the grit, then you're probably thinking of a different black book. But for this situation, she's talking about her network, her business book that will be long lasting. I mean, it's essentially the network of folks that can take you to the moon.
Take you to the moon. Right. Yeah. And I usually always have an actual little black book that in there has my secret of secret notes.
Very good.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, on people and connections.
Yeah.
People's
she mentioned she was in politics.
Yeah.
So there you go, guys.
So I remember one time losing my little black book and I freaked out. I said, oh, no, there is some insider scoop in that.
Oh, my goodness. I can imagine.
No, I'm kidding. But you know, when you've done fundraising and you sat in the homes of San Antonio's
That's tough.
Top, you know, and asked them for money and, you know, things. And
you're used to know.
It's fun. It's fun.
You get used to know, right?
You do get used to know.
Absolutely.
But what I also learned in fundraising, too, is that no just means not right now.
I love that.
It really does.
I love that. I use the old saying, new saying, I don't know. Some will, some won't. So what? Someone's waiting.
Ah, I like that. Okay, now I got a new one. Some will, some won't.
That's the goal here. We want to learn. We want to throw stuff back at each other, by all means, you know.
It's not right now. No just means not right now.
Very good.
And that's all. And so, because the reality is if you are really good at keeping your Rolodex, and you are really good at maintaining a rhythm
Absolutely.
Of your pipeline and keeping up with folks, guaranteed, those folks do come back around.
I will you know agree what? With that.
Last year, we were not able to give, but this year we can.
Mm-hmm.
Or last year, we were not looking at a property to invest in, but this year we are. Mm-hmm. And I thought of you.
There you go.
Well, thanks.
And it says a lot about the person, you being the person, is most when they hear no, that's it. They're done. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Folks like you, myself, you hear no and it's okay. When do I follow up? How do I follow up? And which angle do I take to accomplish the goal that we're trying to get here?
At the end of the day, business is business.
Absolutely.
You know, and I feel that way too. Right now in my industry, you know, I stay friends with my competitors and not for any malicious reason other than they are part of my network. They live here too. They're my community. You know, they might not always be there in that position. You just never know.
I actually can relate 100%.
You know, and there's no point in burning bridges.
No, you're right. And
for what reason?
And I don't think it matters what industry you're in, but you've heard the saying, this industry is a small industry, right? As big as these industries are, mortgage, your industry, they're small industries.
Mm-hmm.
Things come around. Right. You'll see the same faces eventually if you are a shaker and a mover, so to speak, and climbing that ladder. It's just very cool to see the similarities in two completely different industries.
Absolutely. And so what was interesting with so investing in yourself, you know, I really spent all that time building casting a wide net.
Okay.
Basically. And so that's my advice for a lot of millennials. You do in the beginning want to cast a wide net, but not for very long.
Makes sense.
You just don't. If you cast a wide net, then you are too fake.
Okay.
Right,
now, I think dig a little deeper on that because I love the analogy, but I don't know if it paints a picture yet to the folks.
So casting a wide net, you know, if you want to get a bunch of contacts into your phone, that's great.
Sure.
You know, you go to a networking event and you just blanket the whole place with your business card.
That's right.
Okay. How effective is that? Out of all, if you say you pass out 25 business cards, how many of those people are really going to put your contact into their phone?
Mm-hmm.
How many people are really going to email you or anything follow up?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe somebody will if you've got theirs back and you can reach out.
That's right.
I like to make notes on any card that I get when I meet somebody right then and there. I always make sure I repeat their name three times.
Sales
tactics.
It's perfect.
You know, those are things you got to work on in your 20s, guys.
It's very true.
You can't. You know, I've had colleagues of mine sit and watch me work a room and they ask me, how'd you do it? And I said, it's not natural. You got to build these skills.
Absolutely.
You have to know how to remember someone's name. You have to remember to write down notes about them afterwards. Mm-hmm. If you're that interested, that's
right.
What makes you genuine.
I agree.
And authentic.
100%.
That you're making that extra effort to remember that his wife's name's Linda and she's about to have a baby. he's about to be a new dad.
That's right.
Follow up in 3 months and see how he's sleeping.
Now, it's funny because I actually took a class on these type of skills, so to speak.
You need to.
They taught us to put it somewhere on your body and then compare it to an adjective and put some color on it and something and then let it stick there.
Okay.
And that's how you kind of relate things. Now, it's a longer practice, but visual basically is how it boils down to. But definitely, I agree 100% that you guys should be investing in yourselves 100%. Now, you are using the analogy of the casting a wide net.
Yeah.
I compare that to shooting a dove shot.
Shotgun.
Versus a buckshot.
That's right.
And when you first get into your industry, and I think you can relate, you are shooting a dove shot. You're spraying it everywhere. You're trying to get your name out there, truck, things like that that you've seen, spraying it out there. And as you climb that ladder and become who you're wanting to become, it starts to hone into the buckshot.
It's so a funnel. Everybody has different ways of looking. It's a funnel, it's a shotgun, it's casting a wide
net. Casting net, absolutely.
My stepdad was a fisherman.
Okay.
Yeah, and he was a stockbroker, so that was always his analogy.
Oh my goodness.
So you cast a wide net, and then you reel them in, and you got to throw some back.
That's right.
Right? You got to throw some back, and same thing with the shotgun approach. You know, you're gonna do
it. Or men, or women, or women, whatever.
Yeah. Well, you know, with the shotgun approach, though, if you want to dive into that analogy, I mean, you take a shot and you're not gonna get all of them.
No,
you're just gonna. You might even like maybe one bullet that sprays.
That's exactly
gonna
right.
Is gonna get your target, and so and that's what it is when it comes to networking.
Agree.
And so as you get older, or as you start to grow into your business, and whether it's a new career, new network, you will find who are the folks. So in my strategy, when I cast the wide net, I find out, okay, I got this group of people that I know now. And I learned this both when I was going into nonprofits. One, I use a strategy trying to figure out who are your circles of influence. Because I need to know when I was fundraising, and same thing now when I'm doing business development, I need to know who's got the purse.
That's right.
Who has the purse?
I love it.
Who's got the money?
That's right. Where's the whale in the room?
And what's her name?
I love that.
There you go. What's her name? Who has the purse? Like, that's your ultimate goal, finding out who's your circle of influence. So you cast the wide net, and then you kind of go through everything and you figure out, if you do your outreach, you figure out who holds the door. When it was fundraising, who holds the door to someone's contacts, right? Who's the scheduler?
Absolutely.
Get in good with the secretary.
Yep.
Butter her or him up. Somebody who holds schedule. In construction, a lot of it is, just in the real estate world, a lot of folks have family that are all on a team that makes decisions, but there's always one person that makes the final decision. Mm-hmm. So you just figure out who that person is, who your circles of influence is. Also, these are folks who know all the decision makers.
That's right.
So when I'm casting a wide net, I want to find out this is the decision makers, number one, and the circles of influence. I cannot access the decision makers directly, who are the COIs?
Who's going to be the person that can get me to that person?
Or who are people who are also other know-it-alls?
I agree.
Who are the people who are the chisme?
I like it. That's right.
And the chismosos.
Give it to me. I want to know so that I can use that. Absolutely.
Who are the folks that I'm going to go to breakfast with? And they're going to lay it all out. I don't have to say anything.
Love
it's
that.
It's just out there.
So
they're the best.
Obviously, you have the confidence to be able to do that throughout the years.
Right.
Now, I guess for the viewers and listeners, casting of the net, shooting of the shotgun, that essentially, in our mindset, is the means to eating, the means to growing, the means to everything else that we're trying to do in life. Because at the end of the day, like you mentioned, a shotgun sprays, the net goes wide, and all it takes is one.
It does.
Right? Could be a little pellet that hits a wing, but that allows you to eat for the night, so to speak.
Right.
Right? And continuing to do that allows you to eat for the rest of your life. Teach a man to fish versus giving him a fish, same concept.
Right.
But I think a lot of the folks out there in our generation are scared to take that first step.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's great that you're articulating that to them. It really is. So some of the things that I wanted to talk to you about are, we've already talked about investing in yourself. What would be the next, let's say, tip that you would give for folks out there? I would imagine, what are your top three, top four?
Well, you do want to invest in others. Mm-hmm. You know, investing in others is, we actually just mentioned that, growing your network.
That's right. That's right.
Looked at my notes for a second. It's like, yeah, you do want to grow your network. That is actually investing in others. So to go further in that, what I mean by that is, so now you got some folks mm-hmm. in your circle who are now your circle.
Sure.
They're kind of now you got to turn it into your circle of trust.
Yeah.
Right.
Becomes your sphere of influence. So
right.
To speak. Yeah.
You know, you still, even though you go have breakfast with the, for those who do not know what a chismosa or chismoso is, it's somebody,
tell them.
So it's somebody who is the gossiper. You know, they know everybody. They know that Randy's wife yep. has a baby and new business and all the drama and that and this and that.
That's right.
They know, they can connect the dots.
Yep.
Not only can they connect the dots, they have historical reference.
That's right.
These are the guys and girls. These are the guys and ladies that they know what happened in 2001 or in 1995 when that deal was made. You know, they know.
And that's their life.
They do know.
You are correct.
They know because they've been around and mm-hmm. they've been doing this approach that I'm doing forever.
That's right.
So they've been keeping up with folks, keeping up with their issues, keeping up with their drama, personal and professional.
Absolutely.
And so now you got the trust. When I have somebody on a text message level, I have trust.
Very good.
I honestly do feel I have trust. If I am on a text message relationship with somebody, then we have a relationship now.
Yeah.
We're colleagues.
We feel comfortable enough too.
Right.
Absolutely.
We've become more than acquaintances. We're colleagues now.
Gotcha.
Right. We're colleagues. And especially if I feel comfortable enough to ask you insider information over
sure.
text. Yeah, that takes a lot of trust.
Absolutely.
Usually it's a phone call. You never want anything in writing.
There you go.
But, you want to be able to build trust with folks. And that also takes some of that genuine understanding of what's going on in their life mm-hmm. and taking a genuine interest. You know, that really makes a difference.
Absolutely.
For a lot of folks, there are, believe it or not, a lot of people who don't have people in their lives who are genuinely interested in what's happening.
I have seen it, and it is a sad thing.
Mm-hmm.
And those of you that are listening, if you do feel like you're in that position, seek friends elsewhere. Seek circles elsewhere.
Oh,
and
you
I mentioned
contact me.
Yeah, there you
I
go.
Will be friends.
There you go. But yeah, that's a great point that
yeah.
you bring up.
Yeah. And so I always make sure that I'm going into any situation with really wanting to connect with those people. But again, y'all, this took intention. Me wanting to come into a room to get to know somebody, it took me an intentional I had to set an intentional mindset to be present no matter where I was.
Absolutely.
And it took me investing in myself, first of all, to know that when I was going into rooms, I wasn't being present.
Sure.
There was a time in my life where I was going to every event, every chamber event, everything, every gala, and I would meet all these people, hand out my cards, and I didn't know who I met.
That's exactly right. It's almost begin everything with the end in sight,
mm-hmm.
Walking into a room and knowing when I come out of this room, I'm going to have 1 to 5 new contacts mm-hmm. that will get me to my goal.
Right.
Versus going into the room and being the life of the party, but not leaving with anything but stories to tell.
Yeah. Again, it takes research. Mm-hmm. Where are you going? Who's going to be there? What are their names? What do they look like?
Mm-hmm.
And so now if I do anything, it's like, well, one, I try to invite people who
mm-hmm.
I want to have some one-on-one time with me.
Sure.
But also, if I can walk away with at least meeting somebody or saying hi or whatever to somebody that I want to get to know,
mm-hmm.
brush arms with, then it was worth it.
Makes sense.
There was a time, man, I had a good time at that gala.
What did we do?
But it was
what
worth
I mean?
Nothing.
That's right. That's right. And I think we've
nothing.
All been through that because
yes.
when you get in, it's exciting. It's a new room.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe entrepreneurs, business-minded folks like us, our goal is to seek other
yes.
rooms, higher, I guess, upper echelon, so to speak, type,
mm-hmm.
to where it helps us get to the next place.
Yeah, exactly.
And knowing that, I want to take it to the purpose is almost what develops that intention.
Yeah.
And you go through it and you go, man, I've been doing this, but I haven't gotten any. There's nothing out of it. Now, okay. Self-evaluation time,
right.
And how do I get to that goal? Okay, here's the intention of what I'm trying to do. now put a plan together and how I'm going to act on that to come up with the conclusion, yet the goal.
Right. So investing in those folks is really important, and getting to know who they are. And also investing in your community is really the next thing that everybody, especially if you strive to have that millionaire mindset.
Absolutely.
If you strive to have growth mindset, you cannot, I'm just going to say fundamentally, my belief is you cannot go anywhere if you don't know where you're going and you have no one you're taking with you.
Absolutely. Hey, here's an analogy. Here's an analogy. Close your eyes and take off running. Let's see how far you get. Right?
Exactly.
You have no,
you're walking in the dark, like you said, or you're shooting blind. And there's no point of any of your success if no one hears about it, if you can't share it.
That's right.
And that's just part of this life.
That's right.
At the end of the day, none of us own anything, right?
It's all borrowed, including
the
time.
It's all borrowed, okay?
That's right.
We all end up in the ground.
Yeah.
None of it's ours to have. So.
Absolutely.
So,
now, I will say that you, myself, other folks that we'll have on the show, we probably all believe in that, but we also want to leave something behind after, and whether that be money, whether it be a legacy, whether it be something that changes the world, that's what our goal is.
Absolutely. So you need to be invested. So I highly recommend people who are millennials, if you're under the age of 45,
there you go.
Just in general, you need to be on a board of a nonprofit or a commission for any municipal group, the River Authority, SAWS, CPS, your local utilities, any of your planning commissions, any place where decisions are being made for the public.
Absolutely.
You need to be there. Especially,
that's gold.
Especially if you're somebody who's driven, you need to be in rooms where decisions are being made, period.
That's right.
Because one, we need your diversity. We need your young mind. Whatever background you came from, whatever gender you are, the fact that you are of younger age is crucial.
It gives a different perspective.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's a different perspective. It's diversity. It's at its finest. Everybody in every group where there's decisions being made, they're looking for time. The three T's. Time, talent, and treasure.
There you go. I've never heard that one.
Time.
The three T's. Looking for
if you have time, they want your time.
Yep.
A lot of young people have time.
Yep.
They want your talent. A lot of young people have talent.
Mm-hmm.
And treasure. Not a whole lot of young people have treasure.
Correct.
But your treasure grows. This is my stance.
Okay.
Your treasure grows when you grow your network in those groups.
Very true.
Because you will be in the room with people you would have never found yourself in a room
Absolutely.
With.
Absolutely. Right? That's exactly right.
You know, and so it's like serving on boards and commissions is the reason why I know owners of CPA firms or people who work in tech startups,
like
just groups, rooms that I would never have found myself in. You know, I don't find myself in a whole lot of startup rooms.
And that actually seems to be a common theme in these podcasts that we're doing is the simple fact that, as I mentioned, and you mentioned, the goal is to get into those rooms.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you've mentioned, I'll call them the three pillars, investing in yourself, number one, investing in others, number two, and investing in your community.
Yes.
Right. And I believe that those, in essence, are the foundation to getting to your end goal.
Oh, yeah.
Those, I think, are the most wouldn't think they're as basic as they are, but for you, that's just a basic principle. This is your philosophy. This is what you stand on, right?
My foundation.
I love that.
It's my foundation. And I feel like if you have this as your foundation, investing in yourself and into others and your community, you will be very successful in your businesses and anything that you achieve. Because in my experience, after all that investment, let's say what happened to me in 2020 was like a lot of people that happened in 2020 was just hitting bottom.
Sure.
So everybody knows, like, I hit bottom in 2020.
Gotcha.
You know, I didn't have a job. I had a, you know, heart condition that I found out about that I needed to get fixed. Worldwide pandemic.
Absolutely.
I lost my stepdad, who I was helping care for in the house and home hospice. It was 9 months of unemployment.
Mm-hmm.
There was no jobs, guys. And everybody out there knows there were no jobs until the PPP rolled out.
Yeah.
Jobs started opening up again. But I never let it be bleak for me. Why? Because I have a growth mindset and I know there's something on the other side. That's
exactly what it is the mindset of that. And again, this is another common theme is, and I will say it to today, if I lost everything tomorrow, it would be okay. Why? Because I know how to get it back.
Yes.
And I'll do it again better the next time.
Yep.
And it's just, it's a mindset. Mm-hmm. Fail, but fail forward.
There are times I got super nervous. Don't get me wrong.
Sure.
I was going to bed at 4 a.m. just trying to figure out. But I was hustling. I'm like, okay, what can I do today? Mm-hmm. What can I do today? Who can I call? You know, even in 2020, even jobless Crystal was calling people. I had a list of phone calls that I was still making.
Still keeping in contact. Still staying relevant.
And I was calling all my COIs. I was saying, hey, if you know anybody who's looking for, you know, low-hanging fruit to do, you need someone to go down to the planning office and just sit and listen to planning decisions. I'll do it for you. You need somebody to go and change zoning. I'll go do it. All the dirty work. I'll go do it. I know nobody likes to go sit in the planning board and commission.
No.
Listen to decisions. Nobody wants. I'll do it.
I love it.
I was ready.
That's awesome.
I didn't care.
Whatever it takes,
whatever
mindset.
Whatever it took.
That's awesome.
But I wanted to make sure that it was still on my path, though. Wasn't going to go and, I mean, I will go back and serve.
Still intentional.
If I needed to feed my family, absolutely. But I was lucky enough and smart enough to have a nice nest egg.
Guys. Very good.
You need to be financially sound.
Absolutely.
To take the time.
Question.
Yeah.
What would you say is a good savings amount for folks out there, generally? It doesn't have to be exact, just a general.
I know the general rule is like, you know, 3 months of your expenses, but honestly, 6 months.
And I say 6 months if you can, and anybody listening, anybody can. You just have to prioritize, period. What's the highest priority? Having a nest egg for the oh shit moments. I said it, first cuss word on this podcast.
That's right.
I think that 3 months is a great start. Mm-hmm. Why stop there to get it to the point that just in case something happens, you have something to fall back on and you're not having to pick yourself up and pay for everything and figure out how to feed mouths. And there's a lot to deal with in this thing called life.
Everything. Yes. And I highly recommend, you know, that everybody have a financial advisor.
Very good.
Even if you're not rich, having financial advisor is not for the wealthy.
I will agree.
Take that out of your mind. Yes, you can go to, you know, there's different places, New York Life, Northwestern Mutual. There's different types of agencies that will do some financial advising for you.
Sure.
They'll help you get out of debt, guys.
Absolutely.
They'll work a plan with you. Why? Because they do want your business. So they, you know, they do want you to buy their products eventually.
Of course.
So, but in the meantime, they will help you reach your other financial goals. So why not have a coach next to you to go do that? You need to get that.
Well,
get yourself financially sound.
Simple. Let's layman it down. You wash your own car or you take it to the car wash. You do your taxes or you take it to a CPA. There are plenty of things that we can do on our own, but I think as we go through the trials and tribulations, we learn that I'd rather have somebody that's what they do that versus me trying to figure it out, which in turn takes away time from me.
Right.
I want time to do what I do best.
Mm-hmm. And these folks know how to help gear you away from mistakes.
Absolutely.
So that's what I did in 2020. I got my finances right. Y'all, I cut out so much debt.
It's awesome.
You'd be surprised how much you save when you're not spending.
Oh, yeah.
Because of pandemic.
Yeah.
You know, there's a pandemic going on, so you're not out there spending and you're not lunching like I was doing three times a day. And it's so true.
Okay.
I was like, how is this money coming into my account? Oh, it's because it's not going out.
Checks and balances.
Yes, exactly.
So let's talk about something that I spoke about before on a different show. And I wanted to get your response on it.
Okay.
And it had to do with millennials and their need for friends. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing at all. I'm just saying that folks like you and I, we have to dedicate time to the things that we're trying to accomplish. And that could mean, as you were mentioning, research on whatever it is that you're doing, which nobody's around when you're doing that, right? You know that doing this research is going to help you capitalize in this next meeting. But that takes time. Planning for the next event, courting the next contract, all of that good stuff takes time. That being said, how do you handle the friends that are nagging to spend time with you?
I know. You know, so my friends and I have this saying, people come into your life for a reason,
absolutely,
a season, or a lifetime.
Woo! One more time.
A reason, a season, or a lifetime.
Very good.
Right? You have people come in your life for a reason. You know, the guy who mows your lawn.
Yep.
You get to be nice. You have a choice to be nice and to be cordial to that person.
Sure.
Make sure their day is not worse off after they've seen you.
Absolutely.
Right? You have a choice. The person who opens the door for you. You know, the person who you come into contact every day.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have people who are in a season. Maybe you're doing business with them. Maybe you went to college with them. They were in a season for 4 years with you.
Mm-hmm.
That's a long time.
Absolutely.
Maybe they're other parents of your kids at the school, right? Maybe it's your kid's teacher, right? These are people who you can also help impact in their life, mm-hmm. and they in yours. So you still want to maintain a really healthy relationship with those seasonal relations, because they might turn into lifetime friends.
Sure.
They might turn into lifetime folks. And those folks are very far and few. Your lifetime people. They are people who've seen you through all your seasons.
Mm-hmm.
All of them. Like, even the bad ones.
Absolutely.
And they've seen you through all of it. And so those folks, you don't really, honestly, you don't have to worry about them because they don't go away. They're the people who you woke up one day and was like, God, I haven't called that person in, oh my God, it's been 7 months.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And you call them and like, oh, don't worry, oh my God, I thought about you today too because I woke up and it was 7 months since I've seen you or talked to you. I don't know what's happening in your life.
Absolutely.
And you pick up exactly where you left off. Those people are your lifetime folks. You never have to worry about them leaving.
And I think that's what I'm trying to get at is determining who your lifetimers are,
mm-hmm.
and who are the folks that came into your life for a reason.
Yes.
It's not up to you to determine what the reason is. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. The reason isn't to help motivate you, give you some type of encouragement to keep doing what you're doing,
right.
regardless of the time that you can't spend with them or can spend with them. And then the seasonal folks,
yeah.
determining who it is, right? Mm-hmm. I think millennials have a tough time, and I know I'm generalizing, but it has to be done. I believe our generation is one that is very heavily focused on the friends thing. Like, I've got to have my friends by me. I've got to go and do this thing or else they won't be friends with me anymore or they won't.
Yeah.
It's probably not a friend.
Yeah.
Right?
And it takes a growth mindset mm-hmm. to realize that those three types of friendships.
Sure.
And realizing that if they're a person who is in them for a reason and a season, it's okay to let them go.
Yeah.
Right? So being able to let go of things also is a kind of mindset that I had to be very conscientious in growing for myself.
Absolutely.
Because I was very much a person who was attached to having a healthy ending. I did not like endings.
Sure.
Right? Even if they weren't good for me.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it was a job, whether it was a contract with a client,
sure.
Even whether it was a friendship, it was not good for me. I had
right.
a very hard time cutting it off.
Makes sense.
And it took a lot of effort for me to do that because I'm very much a very social person.
Sure, and you don't want anybody to not like you.
I value my relationships, yeah. right? I value my relationships. Mm-hmm. You know, you get to still court that. You can still, it's not like a full cutoff mm-hmm. with folks, but there are some people you do need to cut the vine.
Absolutely.
Right? If you want to grow with your energy, if people are being an energy suck, if they are not adding value to you, if they are taking
the energy bus, it's
if
right
they
there.
Are yeah. if they are taking more out of your energy bucket
that's right.
than they're putting in,
that's right.
then they are it is okay. I'm telling you, I'm giving you everybody permission right now. It is okay. Okay.
Crystal certified.
It's okay to cut them off.
I love it.
It really is.
Okay.
And you know, it doesn't have to be a hard, it doesn't have to be
no.
like you're fired Donald Trump style. You can just let go.
Yeah.
And see what happens.
Absolutely.
You know?
And I love that take on it.
If they need you more than you need them, that's okay. Accept that relationship. But don't let your energy be taken at the end of the day. You have to get your stuff done. That even means in relationships too.
Sure, I agree.
You have to vocalize with your spouse, your boyfriend, girlfriend, significant other, your BFFs,
mm-hmm.
your mom who's super attached to you,
that's
your
right.
kids. You know, there's things that you need to get done.
Yeah.
And when those get done, then, you know, you're gonna do all these other things, right? You
have to communicate. And I guess that the what we talked about the last time we mentioned this was change.
Mm-hmm.
Our goal is to change.
We have to change.
We have to change, right? Or else we can't move forward. We can't accomplish those huge goals that we have. And that seems to be the motto from the other side, which is, oh, you've changed.
That's okay.
That's okay. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
I love that. So thank you for sharing that perspective on that little segment there. So I would like to get into your business that you have, and the name of it is Crystal Clear Community Consulting.
Yes.
How did that come about? It's been open for a little while now, right?
Yep, 6 years.
Okay. And what is the intent of it? What are you doing? What's your mission? Tell me about that.
Actually, I don't have any clients right now.
Okay, but yeah, bring it on. Well, look here. We got a whole bunch of people listening.
2020 happened. So
2020 happened.
2020 happened. But my consultancy actually opened because I don't know how to stop working. When I had my baby in 2015, I said, you know what, guys? Since I was 15 years old, I've always worked. Not just one job, like I said, two jobs.
I can relate.
Maybe three jobs at a time. Always. I've always been that way. I don't know any other speed than, 150 miles an hour.
You want to hear a funny story real quick?
Okay.
So my first job ever, for those that do not know, was my father was working as a MRI radiology technician, director, and I was 14 years old during the summer. And he said, I've got a project for you and a couple of other 14, 15-year-olds to do. So each day, and our first day, it was crazy because we show up to this building, lights are off, huge warehouse full of barrels. And we look at the barrels, we're like, okay, so what do we need to do? And he says, in the barrels, there's films, X-rays films.
Yeah.
We need you guys to shred them all. And we're looking around like, oh my God, there's a ton of them. Well, you're here all summer. Like, okay, cool. No problem. So we start popping the barrels open and one of the guys holds the film up and it's a boob. Another film. It's a boob. The entire place was filled with mammograms.
Mammograms. Oh, 14-year-old boy's dream.
I'm like, wow. Okay.
Every boob known to man.
Every shape, size, no colors. It was just all boob. Image boob.
Yeah.
Anyway, shapes. I'm so sorry.
That's so funny. What a job.
I'm telling you, I was getting paid to do this.
I have died and gone to heaven. Well, so I, at the time, was fundraising for a drug addiction program. We were fundraising for a capital campaign to build a recovery center, which is now built. And now it's called Rise Recovery.
Very good.
So I was part of that team in starting that up. And I said, I'm pregnant. I've never not worked. So let's try it.
Yeah. Right?
Let's try it. I'm gonna be a stay-at-home mom. Okay. Well, y'all, at the time I had my baby, I was in my senior year of my graduate program. Okay. I had my baby. I was literally back in graduate school like 4 days later.
Wow.
People were like, what are you doing here? I'm like, what?
I'm a machine.
What do you mean? What am I doing here? I'm here for class. I don't know what you're talking about. So, because like I said, I don't know. You just show up.
Yeah.
I don't know why I wouldn't, right?
Correct.
Well, fine. So I was working for the San Antonio Housing Authority doing an internship for them. So I did that work. And I stopped working at the recovery center as my full-time job. And the next thing I know, my phone was ringing and people were saying, well, you've had your baby now. What are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, I'm just, I'm working for San Antonio Housing Authority. I'm doing some strategic planning for them. I'm mapping out San Antonio and all of our poverty and, all these very dismal things that I didn't want to be doing. But it was very, very interesting information.
Sure.
They said, well, Can you fundraise for us? Can you do these grants? Well, I'm not going to fundraise. It's one thing I'm not going to do. I'm not going to be doing events.
Yeah.
I'll grant write. So I started grant writing for multiple organizations and doing their board of directors strategic planning. And I am going into these nonprofits, sitting with these board members who are heads of, our corporations over here in San Antonio. And guiding them on how to guide these nonprofits and giving them data. I'm doing this research. I'm doing white papers. I'm submitting federal grants. I'm doing all this stuff. And next thing you know, I'm in over my head. I have to hire somebody to help me out. And I've got a brand new baby.
Yeah.
And it just, for me, I was living the dream. My ex-husband at the time did not like that.
I'm sure.
So I think I heard you talk to Gilly about making sure you have somebody in your corner, that if they're going to be your spouse, that they're in your corner.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's really hard to have somebody not in your corner.
Agree.
When you're trying to grow and they don't care to.
Agree.
So, and again, you with the mindset of a reason, season, and a lifetime, you're able to give a peace of mind and let some relationships go.
Absolutely.
And it's not easy.
And I think going into, I mean, who wants to take relationship advice from me? I mean, but I think those of you that are single and seeking a relationship, but at the same time have the mindset or want to develop the mindset of a entrepreneur, growth mindset, do whatever it takes. And I want to learn and earn some grit. Have to know that going into a new relationship that you lay the groundwork. And mm-hmm. what I mean by that is set the expectations. Mm-hmm. I may not be around much, but when I am around, I'm going to give you 110%. That's mm-hmm. right. And the reason why is because of this. This is my passion and my purpose, et cetera, et cetera.
And communicating that. It's like, absolutely. Hey, I know the road is bumpy. I'm still guiding. I'm mm-hmm. still figuring out this bumpy road too. Will you join me in figuring out this bumpy road together?
That's right.
It's not going to be an easy ride. I just want you to know what you're signing up for.
A smooth sea never made a something.
A happy sailor?
There you go. Something about a sailor.
You know, I mean, it's very true though. And so I went on my consultancy journey, and for about 5 years, I had a number of clients that were annual clients.
Sure.
One of my favorite clients, I got to give a shout out, is the Louise Batts Patient Safety Foundation.
Very good.
It's working patient safety. If you want to know somebody who's an entrepreneur and gets things done, it's the CEO of Batts Foundation, Laura Townsend. She just gets stuff done. She says, you know what? We're going to do X, Y, Z, all these crazy, lavish dreams she has. And sometimes I'm a realist. I'm like, are you sure?
Right.
But she gets them done.
That's awesome.
And that's the thing, is you have to go in this with things. What I've learned from her is you just go in a we take no for an answer attitude.
I love it.
It's like, okay, you said no. Well, how can we get it done mm-hmm. though? She has this attitude like, how can we make this happen? Okay, they said no. How can we still make it happen?
That's right.
They said no. How can we still make it happen? They said no. How can we still make it happen? And she just keeps going until people around her, she's constantly asking her circles of influence.
That's right.
How can we make this happen?
That's right.
Until the right person comes around and has an idea and they're like, have you tried this?
I agree. I love it.
Being
open to the idea, being able to run with that idea. Mm-hmm. I mean, I agree. I love that.
But coming with your passion,
yes.
With intention, mm-hmm. and she knows everything she needs to get done. And, you know, brought me on board and to help try and formalize her organization. And she's international now.
International,
I mean.
And I would bet money today that lady is still learning.
Absolutely.
I love
great.
That.
Yeah. And so right now, I actually might be picking up another client.
Okay.
Doing some grant writing for civil rights cases.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very good.
What they do is they fundraise to help see some of these cases that might be folks that are need pro bono lawyers
okay.
to get sent again for appeals.
So the consulting side, if we were to drop a plug, mm-hmm. who would you be looking and targeting to work with moving forward in that business?
Yes. Crystal Clear Community Consulting works with nonprofits okay. and municipalities.
Very good.
That want to change the community. They want to make community and economic development impact.
Love it.
Is really my space. So doing research, writing, mm-hmm. Community meetings.
Sure.
Creating impact strategies is my forte.
I love it.
So all of my 20s was spent on impact strategies. Mm-hmm. I've literally went from project to project. And so folks like me who have that multiple skill set,
yeah.
it's really hard to sell that skill set, right? Because I'm a jack of all trades.
That's
I
correct.
I literally know yeah. a little bit about everything.
Correct.
And I'm not an expert at anything except for building relationships and community development.
Okay.
Economic and community development is my passion. When I wake up, when you drive around and you look up and look around your world, are you happy with what you see?
I love that.
That is community development.
And if you don't, what are you going to do about it?
Exactly. And there's mechanisms that are already in place. Mm-hmm. And there's also mechanisms that are not in place to make those things financially and like organizationally happen. So that takes a lot of policy, takes a lot of politics, it takes community insight, it takes communication, sure. awareness of these issues. And so being out there and doing all that is God. You know, y'all, I just wanted, that's all I want to do.
That's awesome.
That's all I want to do.
So it is super, your energy, your positivity, your confidence, it's mm-hmm. contagious. I can feel it coming across the table. I want to make sure that we've covered all of our topics. We've talked about your keys to success, which essentially is going to be investing in yourself. Mm-hmm. I agree with that 100%. Second, investing in others. Still agree with that 100%. And then investing in your community.
Yes.
Because what good is it that you're doing great if you're not giving back to anybody? Mm-hmm. Okay, that essentially got you there, so to speak. Is there anything that you would like to leave us with?
Always be intentional with your words, with your actions, and your responses, because don't be quick to act and to talk. Really think about it, because your presence is more valuable than you think. It really is. You know, just being here is more than enough, right? So always remember you're more than enough because you're here.
That's right. Right? Showing up. They say showing up is 80% of it, right?
That showing up is 80% of it. You're here. And so your presence matters, right?
Absolutely.
So always remember that you are here. The person across from you is receiving what you're bringing. Mm-hmm. And so you want to make sure you're bringing something good.
I agree.
It doesn't matter what you think about that person.
Yeah.
Just bring something good.
I love that. Yeah. Well, I really appreciate you taking the time.
Yeah.
I want to make sure that if there's a way for someone to get a hold of you, that they know how to get a hold of you. I don't know. You have social media, things like that. Let them know where they can find you.
Well, you know, everybody can find me on Instagram okay. at Crystal Lightful. So like Crystal Light, the little drink that we all had in the 90s, and Delightful, basically together. Crystal Lightful. You can find me there. Please add me. That's usually my personal social page. If you go to my LinkedIn, Crystal Del Bosque Gomez, you'll find more of my business information that I put out there. I put out a lot of content on economic development type things, things that are happening in our real estate market, big purchases, anything happening in the construction industry, I usually repost there.
That's
so
awesome.
It's a lot of stuff happening in San Antonio and up the
Absolutely.
35 corridor.
Yes, ma'am.
It's all very interesting.
I mean,
I want to be a part of all of it.
That's awesome. Well, I mean, that should wrap it up. Guys, you heard it here from a fellow millennial that is also a shaker and a mover, does most of the things intentionally, and has a passion and a purpose for helping others. I really appreciate you guys tuning in, and thank you again. We'll see you on the next one.